A4.
Number 13A.
So we come to the next problem, F, the blending of an idea with all the seven synonymous terms. What does that mean? See, before we have been taking a synonymous term and defined the synonymous term through other synonymous terms, and now we can say, yes, but the synonymous terms stands for something very big as a super symbol combining all a lot of ideas. How is it if we only take one specific idea of a synonymous term, only one specific idea, and combine it with all other synonymous terms? So if we take just one idea, like power, see, power is an idea characterizing mind, but mind is much bigger than just power, as we have seen. Mind is also creator and producer and cause and the first and the origin, the intelligence and this, the action and so on. But if we focus on something specific in the realm of mind, like the idea power, then we must see that this idea called power is not just a term, an undifferentiated term, an amorphous term, power. You know, I come right back again to that point where I say I can hardly say it what it is, huh? Because actually it doesn't exist, so I can't say what it is. Power is a whole structure. And in order to see more about that structure of what power implies, we can see power, say, in combination to all the other synonymous terms. And that is what Mrs. Eddy does also the textbook, that she will take individual ideas. Now, let's take as an example power, and then combine power with all other synonymous terms, always to bring out another aspect, another accentuation of power. So that through those combinations, we really get a much bigger sense, a much defined sense of power. So let's try and do that with this one example. Power as an idea, we know first, is an idea of mind. It's an idea characterizing mind. And alone by seeing that it is characterizing mind, we already say something big. We say, therefore, that power, it has nothing to do with the human mind. Therefore, there is no power of thinking, no thought power, no will power. You know, will as an idea characterizing mind. No will power. There is no power in mortal mind, in the human mind, in the erroneous mind, in people's thinking, in the brain. Can you see? I take all those aspects that are under mine in our list of ideas. And so I already gain quite a lot just by knowing that power has to do with divine mind, and therefore not to do with the opposite of the divine mind. So I get the first conclusion that power, therefore, is mind and not mortal mind, not human mind, no willpower, no mesmeric power, no power of thought transference and anything like that. But then I must see, because it is an idea of mind, and because mind must be defined through all the other synonymous terms, I can see that therefore power also combines with spirit. And so we come to the power of spirit, which is saying something else than the power of mind. And so I can combine power with soul and speak of the power of soul, and with principle, with the power of principle, and with life, with the power of life, with the power of truth, and with the power of love. And this is the way that Mrs. Eddy would write in the textbook. Whenever she combines power with a synonymous term, it is not always just with mind, as we had it on our list, but that she will speak about power in relation to mind in a different way, than when she speaks about power in relation to spirit or to soul or to principle or to life and truth and love. So you can see we can combine then the power of mind with the power of spirit, with the power of soul, with the power of principle, with the power of life, with the power of truth, with the power of love. And what is the conclusion about it? The conclusion about it is that every one of these combinations will offset its counterfeit belief. What would it offset? If we just reason now deductively, you see, now we come into the creative thinking and deductive thinking. When we have our categories right, we can now think out what Mrs. Eddy must write in the textbook. What must she write in the textbook when she speaks about the power of spirit, if power per se is mind? What must she say about the power of spirit? When will she use the power of spirit? It will be to offset the counterfeit belief of it, namely the belief that matter has power. And that's a common belief, that the flesh has power. That's a common belief. What would she have to say when she speaks about the power of soul, for instance? Actually, in her writings, it happened that she doesn't speak about the power of soul, but she could, because naturally the textbook doesn't give all the computations. It's a textbook, and therefore she just gives the principles and the rules and the methods, but not all the computations. She would have had to write the whole library. So actually she doesn't use the rendering power of soul, though we can use it, and we certainly do it in our practice. What would be the power of soul? The power of soul would be that when we have to counteract the belief that sin has power, the power of sin, the power of malicious animal magnetism. And you know that in practice people believe that evil, sin, animal magnetism, malpractice, despotism, cruelty has power. And that which will offset that is the power of soul. What would she talk about if she would combine power with principle? We would see that the power of principle would have to be something of that nature, that principle that proves itself, principle that demonstrates itself, would give a sense, I guess, of the power of demonstrating principle, namely the power that would offset the power of sickness. What would she use if she uses the power of life? I don't know if she uses that. No, she doesn't. What would she use it? When would we use it? We would use it when we say so often that death is a power that cannot be resisted. We have a sense in the human belief that death is more powerful, and one day death will have more power than anything else. And so we speak about the power of death. The power of life would be that which would offset it. Or if we take the power of truth, then the most cases would be that it offsets the power of error. And that's the worldwide belief that error is more powerful than truth, that error is more powerful than anything which is positive and good and constructive. And so whenever we think that error has power, just like Nahum had to teach Nineveh that it thinks it has more power than anything else, he had to use the power of truth to counteract the belief that error is more powerful. Or you take love, the power of love is naturally to counteract the power of fear and things like that. Power of fear, we know what a terror fear can be. So whenever one has to do not just with fear, but with a specific aspect of fear, namely that fear has a terror on us, we would see that the power of love would be able to handle it. Now, can you see how difficult, therefore, it must be to take the textbook and analyze those synonymous terms from the textbook and finding out
what the characteristic ideas of each synonymous term is if, as we have seen, ideas like power appear in combination with other synonymous terms. How can one know now when the text actually speaks about the power of mind, the power of spirit, and then it is the power of principle in the textbook, and the power of truth, the power of love? How can one know to which synonymous terms really belongs the idea of power? And that's where the Christian Science movement got stuck. Because textually, you could say textually, well, power isn't an idea that just belongs to mind, or that characterizes mind specifically, and does not characterize the other synonymous terms specifically. How on earth they would say to us, can you say such a thing? And they say, you make up all these things. And you say, if you only would take a bit time and the trouble to sit down and read your textbook, then you would see that Mrs. Eddy speaks the power of spirit and the power of principle and the power of truth. How on earth can you say that power is an idea characterizing mind? And so we must know the rules of such an analysis, namely, as I have pointed out, that the moment, you see, that the moment a negative proposition is presented as a proposition in the textbook, like that fear has power, that error has power, then naturally we know that Mrs. Eddy must deal with that combination, that fear, the counterfeit of love, has power, counterfeit of mind. It's a combination, the power of fear. Can you see? Is a combination in the negative of two negatives of power, of an idea with a negative, power, and a negative fear. And therefore, in dealing with that negative, Mrs. Eddy has to counteract the negative and not the positive. She doesn't have to counteract with the synonymous term power. She has to counteract that which is negative, namely fear. And that which handles fear is love. Yes? So she has to speak about love, but because the argument is that fear has power, she must speak about the power of love. Can you see that? And that's where the difficulty came in. That's why, since the textbook exists, nobody has found out the characteristics of the synonymous terms, because they just didn't see that trick. That trick that she uses not only the positives, but also the negatives exactly. And that when a proposition is stated in the negative, like fear, that she will have to deal with it through its positive sense, namely through love, no matter if secondary, that fear is combined with power, or if that fear is combined with, let's say, the plan, or if that fear is combined with some other fact. The negative must be handled through its positive, no matter what the secondary claim is, that fear has power, that there is a power in fear. And this has made it so difficult for a clear-cut investigation into the nature of the characteristics idea for every synonymous term. And therefore you can understand what a terrific job we had to do over years and years, until only we found out the rule of analysis. And then when we had found out the rule of analysis, we had to go all over the whole text again, and analyze it again, and weigh it up again. And naturally there are one or the other aspects to it, which I want to go into it, which also had to be taken in consideration. But at least if you see that, then you can answer most of the criticism against this study. And so I will just go through some passages with you so as to fortify you in your understanding and see how we would analyze the text in regard to the seven synonymous terms. And so I read, again, out of context, sometimes not even the whole sentence, but just that which matters for the analysis of the synonymous term, some passages. For instance, it says, shall I tell you, yeah, all right, 157:10, Christian Science acknowledges that the divine mind has all power. You see, here you have a straightforward definition of the nature of mind, namely, without any negative, and just says, you see, mind is what? It has all power. So here we get the characteristic of mind as all power, all powerful. Or she says, 143:26, there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. So again, you have no negative statement, no negative proposition, except perhaps that it says there is no other power. All the power there is that power which is derived from mind. Again, giving a sense that mind is all power. These are straightforward definitions of mind through the characteristics of power. Or 443:8, that we must put the entire confidence in omnipotent mind as really possessing all power. Mind possessing all power. Just that. That's a straightforward characterizing of mind. Or 483:7, mind transcends all other powers. Again, in a sense that mind is the all power. Now, we go to another one. He speaks on page 44:30, the power of spirit. And what on earth could she say if she speaks about the power of spirit? Will she also say that the power of spirit is all power? No. Huh? But she will say that the power of spirit to overrule, can you see? Overrule means an opposite. Huh? And what on earth should perhaps come? Just a few suggestions. Overrule mortal material sense. So you see So you can see the proposition here is not asking what is power. But the proposition is quite different. Says, well, has mortal material sense power? Huh? And if it's a material sense, then material is counteracted by spirit, in certain case by soul, according to the context. Material is counteracted by spirit, and that's the main thing. So material sense must be counteracted by spirit, and that's the main tone. And as a subtone or side tone is that it has power. So power is secondary. Whereas when we were in mind, power was primary. It was a primary quality of mind. Whereas here it is a combination. The proposition is material sense versus spirit, and secondary is that the spirit has the power to overrule. Is that clear? Begins to be exact mathematics, spiritual mathematics. And so through that discipline, we also begin to think more disciplined in our practice, in our consciousness. Let's take another one, 3:16:8. And I just take, for simplicity's sake, just something out of the sentence. To prove the power of spirit over, now must come again something that is the opposite. Here it is, another opposite of spirit, over the flesh. Now we know from our list of the negatives that flesh is the counterfeit of spirit. So if there is a concept that the flesh has more power than the spirit, then really it is the proposition that flesh has power. So flesh must be counteracted by spirit, and as it is a question of perhaps the power of the flesh, it must be counteracted by the power of spirit. If it would have been different, say if she would speak that the flesh has its own law, that the flesh has its carnal law, she would counteract it by the law of spirit. And would say that the law of spirit overrules the carnal law. Here it is, here in the context, it is said that the flesh must have power and that the flesh has power. And in order to offset that belief, she has to use spirit in combination with power. So actually, power of spirit is a combination of an idea of mind combined with spirit. Yeah? Let's take another one with principle. In our age, Christianity is again demonstrating the power of divine principle by healing the sick, by healing people. So it is a sense, you see, that which stands against the sick is the principle of being, and the power of principle is above that. Okay.